And Ray, you know what the worst part was the whole night?
I do not.
Somebody at certain terms had to be Tom Bombadil. Ugh. How much I loathe Tom Bombadil.
Yeah, there was that. That was good.
Wait, what game had to be required Tom Bombadil?
So it's a Lord of the Rings trick-taking game.
Mm. Oh, okay.
And it follows the chapters of the Fellowship. So in chapter one, you just have the hobbits and you're getting ready to leave the Shire. And, you know, chapter two, you're moving out, you know, through some, you know, getting out to Bilbo's, you know, where he moves before he actually leaves the Shire. And,
right.
And going out to Farmer Maggot's farm. And, you know, then some Nazgul show up and blah, blah, blah. But, you know, obviously at some point you get to Tom Bombadil. And I was dreading it. We're getting to that chapter. And I'm like, oh, don't tell me. And they're like, oh, yeah, here it is.
Yeah, he was a good character and we crushed it. And who's his sidekick?
Goldberry, yeah.
Well, when you got to Tom Bombadil, you had to stop the game and then all just sing a song together, right?
Yes.
I think the part that I guess was, I don't know, good, bad, I don't know. It appeared that I might have been the only person who's read those chapters. So I started to sing the song and everyone's like, what, looking at me like, what's wrong with you? And I'm like, this is how the book goes. It's about 8 pages of song right here of Tom Bombadillo. And they're like, really? I'm like, yes, this is what happens in the book.
Ray, who would have ever thought that strangers would react negatively to Craig's aggressive, demeaning behavior?
But it was a good game. I enjoyed it.
It was a great game.
I did not want a free copy.
Play it again.
I was sad.
What's that?
I said I did not want a free copy.
No, they were sold out every second.
Well, I tried to win a free copy, too, and that didn't work either.
Oh, sorry, dude.
Yeah, they were selling, what, 200 copies a day, and those were gone, like, 8 minutes after the floor opened each day.
Yeah.
Like, we got there, and, like, the floor opened at 10 o'clock. We went to find Mike on Saturday. It was, what, 10:15? 10:20? He's like, yeah, all the copies are gone. They're all gone.
Yep.
He's like, I'm not sure how, because the floor just opened, but they're all gone. Because if you bought the pre-order at the thing, you got a special collector's pin. And then immediately they saw them on eBay being flipped for, like, $200.
Right.
But it was a fun game.
It was. I don't know if I'll ever get a chance to play it again, but I would like to.
Oh, I'm sure at some point we can either buy a copy or convince Mike to mail us a copy.
Right.
I should open up the Discords.
I should open up my box of astonishment at some point.
You didn't open that yet?
No, there's all those peanuts. I don't want to deal with them.
So there was the one, so if you know Steve Jackson Games, they had effectively a loot box. And it was like, we guarantee you there's 100 and whatever X dollars worth of things in this box for $60. So Ian bought one. And then we were like, oh, we'll open this up at the bar and enjoy it. And then we, you know, Ian cuts open the top and it's just filled with packing peanuts.
Hmm.
And we're like, nope, not making a mess here. Close the box back up and load it into the car for tomorrow.
But what's in the box?
I don't know. He didn't open it yet.
The only thing I noticed was there was...
it could be a boat.
Yeah. That's what he said the whole time. He said that so many times on Saturday.
You know how much we've always wanted one of those.
I'm so glad that made its way back around without even knowing it made its way back around.
And Ray, here's the kicker. Do you know what they have in Philadelphia?
A lot of things, but I don't know
they
what you're thinking.
They have the actual Liberty Bell with the crack in it. They're like the real one.
Uh-huh.
Sorry, he says this to us in earnest.
So
it's like a block over there, the Liberty Bell. I mean, the real one.
We're
with the crack in it.
Yeah, we're sitting at the bar with Mike, and he says this like that we should be surprised by this. Like the real one with the crack in it. We're like, right? I'm like, you're from Pennsylvania, dude. Like, this should not be surprising you.
Yeah, this should not be a surprise for anyone.
I'm like, you're from like an hour west of here. What's the problem?
It's all that warm sunshine. It melts your brain.
It totally did. It totally did. Ian and I got a really good cheesesteak one night.
Oh, yeah.
I got mine without cheese, delicious. Obviously, but it also gave him delicious flavored pop.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, that time. At the bar. But how was that cherry Coke that you got? Was awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Mm.
It's all good stuff.
It was quite the adventure. Oh, and that Willy Wonka pinball table. I've never played that one before.
That was a lot of fun. That was fun. Yeah, we went to a barcade.
Yeah,
sure.
And played some pinball and old school X-Men. So I got to, you know, Dazzler up a little bit. So that's always a good time. And then what was that game we were playing? Blades and Guns or Guns and Blades?
I have no idea. We were just shooting stuff. Just grabbed the guns and just kept blasting until everything stopped moving. It was awesome.
So anyway, I started blasting. Anyway, we had a good time over the weekend.
Very cool.
Yeah. All right, let's talk about this show now. That's been half an hour of that other talk.
Nice.
All right. Greetings, true believers. Welcome to the 446th installment of the Puzzle Warriors 3, where we talk about Marvel Puzzle Quest. Not other things like board games.
No.
But I do recommend that you go out and buy a copy.
But that segment is coming up, unironically.
Yeah, you should ever go buy yourself a copy of the Lord of the Rings trick-taking game and Mandalorian Adventures, both of which coming to you and made by people that we know and like.
Yes, they are Puzzle Warrior approved.
That's right. So I'm Craig, I'm here, we got Ray, we got Ian. How's it going?
Good.
Word up.
What's the word?
What up?
This is the week of the 11th to the 18th. And then I guess we'll be having like 2 weeks off, right?
Eventually.
Yeah.
That's future us, but yeah.
Yeah. I just looked at the date and went, plus 7 is a number that I'm not going to do the show on. And then plus 7 after that is another day I'm not going to do the show on.
Yep. So. Truth.
All right. And your 7-day 4-star out of Titans. This week you had TV She-Hulk versus a double shot of Abomination. Did you throw a steel girder at the Abomination?
I haven't gotten there yet.
I did.
But I will. I promise I'll follow through. I feel like I've got her covered, and I'll just throw some ISO and flip it to blue and see what I can do.
You should succeed.
She didn't do nearly as much damage as I had hoped or remembered. Maybe I only played her when she was boosted before, but... And also, I just... Why Abomination twice? Like, once I get, it was in the show. But I don't like these completely redundant fights. Like, throw something different at me. I don't know.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, like, I just did that.
Yeah.
Why am I doing it again? I don't know. Well, maybe next week you can get something different because you've got Glider Man versus a random opponent next week.
Yeah, that will definitely be new and different.
The chance of success is way lower for that.
That is true. 2-2-2.
Oh, do you not have Glider Man?
Yeah. I got the deuces.
Oh, Ray and I both have the 4-5-4 build on Glider Man.
Well done, gentlemen.
Nice. Let's see. What was I talking about? Hearts of Darkness. That's a thing. That's what's running now. That'll get you Don Quixote, Mantis, and some Mephisto shards. Placement is Annihilus. And that Nova, what was his name? Tannic Vault? Tannic something?
Mm-hmm.
Tanny something? I don't know.
I agree with that completely.
Yep. If you have not finished your Puzzle Gauntlet, I believe you have a day left to Puzzle Gauntlet. So I did the two of those today that I needed to do. One was the what? It was Tug of Wars. That's what it was.
So probably by the time this is going out tomorrow, it'll be too late, is what you're saying?
Yeah.
That's unfortunate. Because I was going to say, if you haven't been able to do it yet, those two, the one node where it switches when you match away a special tile, use low whatever AI, the support for AI, it automatically puts out strike tiles every round, so that really makes it a whole lot easier.
Yeah, but doesn't that what's his name does that for you?
Yeah, if he makes matches in that color before he kills you, sure.
Oh, it seemed like every turn he was making special tiles.
Not for me.
That match.
I went through the entirety of the characters that they allowed me to play, including duplicates for a lot of them, and I couldn't get a single special tile to come out on the board.
Oh, wow. I had the complete opposite experience.
Then I looked on Reddit, and somebody said, hey, use that AI support, and I did that, and I used one health pack to heal up my, I think it was Wolverine, and won on the first try. So,
it
makes a big difference.
All right, very good. Let's see. It is Between the Seasons and PvP Land, but First Avenger is running right now. It'll get you Captain America, one of those Glider Man, Jessica Drew, and some Hex 23 shards. However, we got that new 2-star character that we talked about last time.
Whoa, what's that? Tell me.
It is good old Bob, Agent of Hydra.
Oh, nice. Really?
Yeah. Bob Dabalina, which I did not know his last name was Dabalina, but I like it.
I do too. I don't normally like joke characters, but I'm on board for this one.
Yeah. And obviously, Bob primarily feeds Deadpool, because, you know, why wouldn't he?
Sure.
All right, let's look at Bob. His yellow power for 5 yellow is called We're Gonna Die. Bob, I like, the flavor text is Bob cowers in fear, requiring his allies to take some action. Bob takes damage. All right, I don't like that. Bob takes 27 damage, but creates 3 strength, 6 strength dials.
Nice.
Passive, for every 18% of health Bob is missing, increase the damage his teammates deal by 10%. All right. As you level up, all of those numbers just increase. At maxed out, he takes 80 damage to create strength 63 strength tiles, and increasing damage for every 10% he is missing. So the more Bob's hurt, the more his friends step up to try to win the day. All right. Purple for 7 is evasive strategy 423 factorial. It's a big number. Big number. Create a 2-turn run countdown tile that deals damage to the enemy team. While this is on the board, Bob is invisible. Passively, when a friendly run tile is on the board, anytime our teammate deals damage, Bob hits a random enemy for 25 damage. If an enemy matches or destroys a friendly run tile, they take 37 damage. So you, a teammate does damage, and Bob just goes by and slaps you. All right. Up and level, all damage just increases for all said things. Max is 960, 286, and the tile deals 398 when matched away. All right, what else we got here? Red, 6 red. Get away from my pals. In a moment of bravery, Bob stands up for his allies. Deal 86 damage and an extra hit of 12 damage for each 20% of health each of Bob's teammates are missing. Going up in level, numbers increase. Max is 955 with each extra hit being 160.
Woot.
All right, so I guess you want to save up, you know, to get to like 30 red maybe at the end when all of your friends are really are hurt. And then you just start, you know, throwing fists, I guess, if you're Bob.
I'll throw hands.
That's right. So, there you go. Bob, Agent of Hydra.
That sounds wacky. I love it.
So, kind of a joke character, but not annoying like some of the other ones. We'll let this
that
one go.
That made me laugh. That's good enough.
All right. That's what I got for the news outside of...
Oh, wait. You didn't go through his, like, where do you get him? What's he in?
Oh, I totally forgot. I scrolled away. Let's see. He is in the Meat Rocket and or Groot event. 2-star Bob covers in low-tier rewards, event store tokens and placement, and fight for your right to Wakanda on the 15th to the 19th. Same thing. The Versus, Do You Mind? He is a cover in low-tier rewards there. And I think this is his Versus. It's called a dental plan so that Hydra agents get a dental plan.
Okay.
The 15th to the 18th. Same thing. 2 Bob covers in low tier rewards, event store tokens, and progression and placement. And then there's the Bob and Friends Vault running the 12th to the 16th, where you get a 4-star Ascended Bob version.
Oh, okay. So I'm going to need 2 roster slots. Got it.
That's what I'm saying here. A Deadpool Uncanny X-Force cover and then a random 4-star in there. And then there is the Friendly Foe Legendary Store, 12th to the 16th. 25% chance to... Oh, they always word this weirdly. It makes my brain hurt. There's a big list of characters. It's a 40% chance to get 3 stars, 25% chance to get 4 stars, 10% chance to get 5 stars. No 5 stars are in this list. And there's no... I guess it's a 25% chance to get Bob? Is that how you read this? It's very unclear.
I don't know how to read that. Not a clue.
So I don't know if it's just it's a 25% chance to get Bob, and then it's a 25% chance to get... a 4-star or a 40% chance to get a 3-star.
I mean, I would say it's a 25% chance to get one of the characters in that list, and then the other percentages are for another random character. But I don't know. That doesn't make sense either. So
yeah, I don't. If anybody else is smarter than us, how do you really read that reward there?
It's the same rates as the other 2-star CP tokens from earlier this year, Samurai says. I don't know what that means, but...
Well, that doesn't mean I understood it last time either. I am telling you, I don't understand those words.
So, let's address what Samurai added prior to this. Mm-hmm. And you'll have to check out the Discord because it's hard to describe. But based on general size. Clearly, I'm the one in green, and Craig is the one in red. Based on just face shape and structure, clearly Craig is the one in green, and clearly I'm the one in red.
That's two characters from Always Sunny, isn't it? I'm assuming that's a scene from Always Sunny at this point. Where they dress up like Renaissance? Yeah, Parody X says I'm correct.
They look like dandies.
They do.
That's a scene from The Gang Cracks the Liberty Bell. Nice.
Oh, well, there you go. You know, they have the real one right there in Philadelphia. It's cracking it? It's got a crack in it and everything.
Oh, man, that's good times.
On slightly offbeat, kids, close your ears. We may have been talked to by a lady the evening, and none of us caught on to it except for Ian.
Dude! That was a big old heavy bus. I'm sorry that I'm aware of those things, all right?
We're playing this, you know, the super nerdy Lord of the Rings game, and this, you know, slightly older lady comes over. Now, by older, probably meaning younger than me, but, you know, but she came over to our table and talked to us like she was interested, and we're like, all right. And then she left, and it never occurred to us that she might have been a working lady. We're just not that.
First thought that that the made-up middle-aged woman in the teeny-tiny cocktail dress was super interested in our board game.
Well, that's why we were confused. We're like, why'd she bother us? Like, I don't understand. She clearly's not interested in this game, talking about hobbits.
Oh, that was a good game, though.
Oh, man. Well, you did make that story funny eventually, so.
All right, sorry. Okay. Let's see then. So after that, yes.
News. Are you done with news?
Yes.
Because I have something that I need to relay to Ian, and I think it Craig can jump in as well. So Ian got me Beetlejuice and Beetlejuice on USB drive so that we could watch. So back to back, we watched those. And let me just tell you, the sequel, for everyone who is disappointed in the sequel, are you sure you remember watching the first one? Because the second one is the same thing.
Yeah, it's a banger.
Like, if you think that the second one was disappointing, you're just going off the nostalgia of the pieces that you remember from Beetlejuice, the first. Because it was the same movie, like, and not in a bad way, like... It's just as silly. It's just as over the top. It didn't have the great one-liners, but there are so many better one-liners since Beetlejuice came out. Like, it just, I think you just, that was the only part I think was missing.
No, it just did not hit for me. However, Gladiator 2 was a good time.
Sweet.
But was it a sequel?
Yes.
Really? Because it looked like it's just a remake.
No, it is a sequel. It takes place 16 years after the first one.
Hmm. All right.
There are several of the characters that are in both movies.
That is what I had heard.
I very much enjoyed it. It's long.
Movies are nowadays.
But yeah, you should go see it. All right, can now can we move on?
Sure.
All right. This week, then on It's Always Sunny in Xandar, Arcady drains life.
Right on. I'm back. I'm awake, and I am aware that I am talking about 3-star Omega Red. Let's see what this fella is up to these days. Tentacle Snare deals, oh god, 7 red AP and deals 345 damage to the target enemy and heals Omega Red for 10% of the damage dealt. Additionally, for the next 3 turns, Omega Red's damage is increased by 35%. Using this ability when Omega Red is already buffed resets the duration. And at the highest level, this scales up to 2,734 damage, healing for 20%. Damage and increase damage by 90% for 4 turns. That sounds all right. Let's see what death spores do. They sound menacing. They're 0 black AP. At the start of the battle or Omega Red's turn, if one doesn't exist, create a random 4-turn death spore countdown tile, prioritizing black tiles.
That's a great name for a metal band, by the way.
It really is. I can't not hear it that way. Each turn.
Brought to you by Blind Dan.
Totally.
Death Spore.
Death Spore. Oh, that's crunk. Each turn, it deals 47 damage to the enemy team for each turn it existed.
including the turn it was placed, and their damage is reduced by 5%, maximum 50%. This passive cannot be disabled by stuns. Yeah, alright, and then that scales up to create a random 4-turn Death Spore countdown tile that deals 326 damage to the enemy team. Finally, he has Carbonadium armor. Yep. Alright. Wow, 5! What a bargain! 5 yellow AP. Create up to 2 strength 23 protect tiles. Then, if Omega Red is below 25% health, heal for 132 for each protect tile on the board, or 15% of Omega Red's max health, whichever is lower. The passive component, when Omega Red makes a 5 match or greater, create 1 strength 23 protect tile.
I didn't even
see
know
how
he
that
did
scales
that.
Up. Yeah, neither did I. That's funny. Create a strength 214 protect tile. If Omega Red is below 50% health, heal for 845 or 25% of max health. I feel like, other than the awesome title, I feel like Death Spore is good at a 5 just because it's always seems to be benefiting you. Like, it's always get cranking out those tiles. Its effects are immune to being stunned. I like that. The other two powers, how about a 5-4-4-5-4? Yes! That's it. Is that it?
That's the second most popular build.
I'll take it.
By a long shot. The most popular build has, almost 5 times the number of people using it? 5-5-3.
Okay. I could dig it.
Yeah, the yellow, like, I don't use...
You seemed underwhelmed by it.
I don't use the 3-star, so I'm not sure they're exactly the same, but I don't really use his yellow when I use the 5-star, so I'm assuming that I wouldn't in the 3-star either.
That seems logical. If that's not my correct build, I'll adjust it. That's solid. All right, that's a 3-star red, black, and yellow Omega Red, and that's what Sunny and Xandar.
All right, Willie, what showed up in the mailbag this week?
All right, so not much. But Perrin Diac, maybe I shouldn't have said that it was Perrin Diac first. I should tell you what the subject line of the email was. He sent in an email. The email subject line was, "I hate your show. Please stop."
Sweet.
the content of the email says, "I love the show. I'm just filling Ian's sarcasm quotient for the day." I am surprised that Ian didn't try for Chairman Meow with the cat names. It's a missed opportunity.
That's already Samurai's cat's name.
Yeah, we can't have two.
Well, you cannot. Not that close.
Yeah.
Jiminy Christmas.
Yeah, you can't do that.
We're barely 1 degree of Kevin Bacon away. That's not at all. The best I could have hoped for is Meow Zedong. And again, lots of missed puns, but my puns were not well received, like I said, by my family.
I enjoyed them.
Yeah, I appreciate that.
And I spoke to Ian's wife. I made my displeasure known. The Donkey Doug and Pillboy. We're not the correctly chosen names.
That's true.
I'm sure.
Forever in our
hearts.
I'm
sure she appreciated that.
She said there was no chance.
All right, we're just getting started on this message. So,
okay.
Part 2, I also saw Gladiator 2 recently, and it gets 2 stars out of 5. 2 stars for the fights only. It tries too hard, and Denzel acted like his clothes were an experiment he was uncomfortable with the entire film.
Huh, I enjoyed Denzel.
Now I'm curious. I'm just going to have to see it just because. All right. Part 3 is about the Pop Pop segment. We went to a small town's downtown area and saw some bottled soda that I had to try. It was pretty tasty and only happened because of Ian's segment. Tasty stuff.
Sweet.
Also included a graph of the change over time of where people refer to soda as pop or Coke. Let me grab that image and throw it in the Discord. You will see that the pop and Coke is dying off, and soda is the predominant term now.
Yeah.
Although the graph isn't quite right, because Pittsburgh should definitely have more pop.
Yeah, Pittsburgh is 100% a pop location.
Right. It's kind of grabbing Pittsburgh, right where it is.
It looks a little too far north.
So it's a little bit north. It's a little into Butler.
You find some rednecks around here who call it drank.
No, that's only if you're having purple drank. That's a whole different drink.
I'm sad that pop's going. I'm glad that Coke is going.
Yeah, calling everything Coke is just wrong.
Use that as a blanket. Yeah,
that's just confusing.
I know.
I can't order a Sprite Coke. That doesn't make any sense. That's me mixing the two together. You know, and that's okay, you know, because I've had that. But
oh, and I also, I did forget, here's an image of what he had. Pennsylvania Dutch Ooh. Birch beer.
Yep, always delicious.
Oh, is that Redding?
And it's Redding
Black Cherry?
Yep.
Oh, yeah, Redding. Redding does a decent round of pops.
Mm-hmm. I like both those drinks.
Yep, that's nice.
All right, part four.
Oh, okay.
Board games. I love certain old games and recently picked up Feudal from 1963. It is a combination of chess and Stratego, but
yes, please.
But it has terrain modifications.
Oh, even more yes.
And there's a couple images to go along with this. There's the box, and there you go. You can see Feudal on the board. That looks interesting.
Yeah. Why isn't that part of my life?
Never heard of that.
Oh, they remade Crossbows and Catapults.
They did, and it was awesome.
It was pretty awesome.
Also, I think you guys missed the opportunity to include a dark horse in the bracket. 1978's The Campaign for North Africa, The Desert War, 1940-43. That's a name.
Well, doesn't Rommel just win that?
Well, probably, but it's a turn-based game, best played with 10 people, and would take approximately 1,500 hours to complete.
That sounds terrible.
It factors in water usage and gas evaporation tables.
I think Ray has played this game with his old roommate.
Not this one.
Because, man, that Lord of the Rings game took like 8 months to finish.
That is true.
Man, we don't want to track rations in D&D. We're not evaporating gas.
On a board game, yeah. I do always love the fact that we start in D&D and everybody's keeping track of their rations and their arrows, and eventually it's just like, I shoot. I don't care. Whatever. How many arrows do you have left? As many as I need.
Yeah, all of them.
But in any case, there you go. That was Parent DX's email, and that's what was in the mailbag. Thanks, Willie.
Cool. But yeah, well, as Ian said with Crossbows and Catapults, so there's a company that all they do is buy up expired board game licenses,
yep,
freshen them up, and then re-release them again.
Yes, they do.
So they went through and replaced the, you know, easily breakable rubber bands from Crossbow and Catapults with springs instead, and then re-released the game.
It seemed to work okay.
It did. They had trebuchet, they had catapults, yeah, they had, you know, all kind of things going on. It's a good time.
I like that you could change the pitch of the catapults now.
Mm-hmm.
Mm.
Yep. Good times. Was that all the mail?
Yeah, I already thanked Willie.
Oh, well, I don't pay attention to nothing. Well,
hey, Willie. What are the results?
Yeah, what are the bracket?
All right, so last week was Trivial Pursuit versus Monopoly, two powerhouses of board games. It was 2-1, almost. Trivial Pursuit crushed Monopoly.
Nice.
Phew.
As it should.
Yeah, it should.
What a great game.
I agree.
Great job. I will save the changes to my bracket there.
To the next round. All right, let's find out what's happening this week in this round. I believe on one half of the board game bracket, we'll be talking about The Game of Life. Is that correct?
Yes, sir.
And on the other half of the board game bracket, we will be talking about the game Dominion.
Mm-hmm.
Also true? Yeah.
Correct.
Okay. Craig, why don't you lead off and tell us about The Game of Life briefly, to the best of your
remembering. Just always remember that the best part of the, you know, old school version of Game of Life is that you could see how many children you could cram into a 1970s station wagon, because if you landed on all the proper squares, you could have so many kids that you were just trying to find ways to keep the pegs, you know,
falling
out of the car, because you would get more kids than you had holes. So that was the station wagon version of life.
Okay. That was a very, very brief summary of that game, but all right.
Uh-huh. It was solid.
So Dominion, I think I played this once. I pulled up a webpage and I'm looking at the cards, and I'm pretty sure that I've played this. But in any case, it is a deck-building game, like possibly the original deck-building game, one of, if not.
Correct.
So basically, you set up your victory cards, your treasure cards, your kingdom cards, you've got all these different things, and you gather victory points based on how you play on each phase of the game. And the game ends like when the decks are empty. Like there's one if the estate cards go empty, I think the game ends and you just count up your victory points. So, yeah, deck building, and it's all about building up your estate, your land, and your wealth and getting victory points. And like I said, I think I played this, but it's probably been 2 decades. Maybe not that long. But in any case, been a while. And I'm pretty sure I played this when I first moved to Pennsylvania and got a job with a whole bunch of other geeks. So
that's likely.
Yeah, there you go. Dominion card building game or deck building game.
Nice.
Vote for it. What is this?
Craig, did you post a link for the Fellowship of the Rings trick-taking game?
I did.
Mm. Is there any way you could post the link so that they have to go through our Amazon banner to buy it?
No.
I don't know if it's available on Amazon yet.
What? That's an outrage.
Well, it doesn't release
Amazon
until...
Amazon is available on everything.
It doesn't release until January. You can pre-order it on Asmodee stores.
That's a good plan as well. All right, so coming up in the chat, you will see a place where you can vote for either The Game of Life or Dominion.
Or Samurai Fell Asleep, and you won't.
No, he's on it. So, and the votes will be tallied along with any sort of other communique that you can send Willy's way is the same way that you vote. So if you want to see Dominion moving on to the next round, or if you would favor The Game of Life moving on to the next round.
Wow, look at those votes just clicking. All you have to do is react in Discord. It's easy to do.
Click, click, clickaroo.
First time's free.
So there you have it. That is the end of the board game bracket for this week.
All right, let's move on. Once again, I am Hans.
Oh, I'm Franz.
And we just want to pump you up.
You up. All right. Let's see what's going on with these boosted characters. 3 stars. Kane Parker. His black projectiles are going to be increased, and the damage from all 3 of his abilities is going to be increased. Miles Morales has some his red damage with his shocky venom blast, I think, and then strike projectiles with his yellow, all going to be boosted. Strike tiles with Daken, healing with Daken. Falcon does stuff. I think he's got a bird that pecks you.
Yeah, I always love Red Wing.
Some extra damage. Yeah. And then Human Torch has some direct damage and then some repeater damage that should be boosted. 4-star characters. Bishop is boosted this week. He's got bigger projectiles and deals more damage from his general reserves and energy conversion. And then For the Future gives him bigger projectiles. We have the Blob. What's this guy up to?
Beware of the Blob, though.
bigger projectiles from his yellow and... more damage or healing from his black. Then we have Emma Frost. What's she doing these days? Nothing. Nada. Ooh, stronger strike tiles. And she buffs them better for her yellow. Oh, yeah. Gertrude. Yorks. And the dinosaur. They do some stuff and some things. I remember them. Yellow. Dealing more damage and bigger buffs to strike attack projectiles. Based on how many runaways you've got in your team. Trap tiles are dealing more damage, plus more damage if there's another runaway. And red, once again, some more damage, bigger strike tiles. Who else is this? Hulkbuster, my favorite.
Who's that image?
He does a lot of... What's that? He does a lot of damage with red.
That is true. I don't get the image for Hulkbuster.
I think his jacket is red, and it's kind of like... The way that the Red Hulk is shaped... With, no neck in the middle of some giant shoulders, kind of representative in that costume. I don't immediately recognize that.
Oh, it's Busta.
Person. Oh, is it?
Yeah, same word just said.
Nice. Oh, wow, that's double. See, it works double. There was the ridiculous explanation that I gave and the easy explanation that Samurai gave.
I like the fact that it makes him look like a vampire, like he should have been in a blaxploitation film.
Blackula in the Bronx?
Yeah, I mean, something, yeah.
Totally. Let's see what's going on.
Bust of the Impaler.
5-star characters now. We've got Hot Pool. Yellow's doing more damage and stronger strike tiles. Red's more damage and the second half of the purple. More damage and stronger strike tiles. The 5-star Kamala Khan. What's she do these days? Stronger projectiles. Better AoE with her green. Professor Xavier. Match 4s do a lot of damage, and to me, my X-Men, various damage or healing or larger attack tiles.
And last of all, we have Wong. Oh, Nuggets. I hate what people need to do.
Wait, look at you just, everybody has to go look at the graphic. This is ridiculous.
It's a lot of stuff, but it's great. So, more damage from the Eldritch Whip. And the Wand of Watoom does bigger protect tiles, more team healing, and bigger strike tiles. And then Wong Exit, Wong Entrance. The red does more damage. Green does more damage. Yellow does stronger protect. And blue does more damage. Right. That's a great graphic. If I just look at it, calm down, it's easy to follow, it's easy to read. Gives me just enough detail. Ah, that's living. Let's see what Samurai says these days. When you put up your holiday decorations this year, make sure all your cords are indoor-outdoor appropriate, plugs are properly secured and connected, don't overload a power strip or circuit. That's just good electrical safety. I am happy that you would pass that on. I'm sad that I feel like it's important that you pass that on. There you have it. That's who's boosted this week. Listen to me now and believe me later. Thanks, as always, to Mystify.
Samurai posted a movie cover of Busta Rhymes with Exhibit called Full Clip. Here, I thought Exhibit's only function was to pimp my ride.
Yeah, but he is a multifaceted entertainer.
Yeah, he pimped so many rides that...
I know, but there's more to him. Mm. He is not just a ride pimper. He is a full clipper.
Ian, what do you got for some pop pop?
Some pop pop. So I had a poptastic experience during my board game excursion this weekend, which started with a unnamed specialty soda that was chocolate that I had at the place where I got the wonderful cheesesteak. And it was really quite tasty, to be honest.
Now, this was Joe's Steak and Soda. So it had, had soda in the name.
Yeah. So, yeah, Joe's Steak and Soda gave me a delicious chocolate pop, which I really enjoyed.
If you're ever in Fishtown, in part of Philly, there you go.
Yep, if you're ever in Fishtown, and then there's a barcade right across the street called Barcade.
Mm-hmm.
And check it out, enjoy. But then we went back to our friend's hotel, and the bar was serving me Hank's Gourmet Sodas all night. It was awesome. They only had three flavors, but all three flavors were spectacular. The root beer was smooth and creamy and delicious. And I mean, it had a great nose. It had a good mouthfeel. I liked everything about all three Hank sodas. The black cherry had a really deep cherry flavor that I could appreciate. The orange cream soda was orange cream soda done well. I mean, it was as good as any other, orange cream soda that I've had recently. A little better than the Erie. I really had a great time with the Hank's Gourmet Sodas. They have a lot of other flavors that I'd be interested in trying. They've got a birch beer, a grape soda, a vanilla cream. They also have some oddball flavors that I've never been able to get a hold of. They have like a Mexicola, a caramel apple, an Irish ginger ale. All things that I would like to try, but I haven't come across those ever.
What makes a ginger ale Irish?
Internet. I don't know. That's why I want to try it.
Okay.
It's probably just a scam.
All right.
But, so that half of Pop. This week's other half of Pop, another turns out to be favorite of mine. One of my favorite toy and collectibles, the Funko Pop. I don't know why. I do know why. I think I have a deep psychological attachment to toys with giant oversized heads. Because when I look around my room to see what I have here collected, it's all Funko Pops, bobbleheads, and Pez dispensers. So I feel like there's a theme and I should recognize it and just embrace it. But yeah, I have an ever-growing collection of Funko Pops. Really anything comes in pop form, and all my pop collection, with the exception of Blackpink and this special edition Bounty Hunter collection, which is a remaking of the scene of the lineup of the bounty hunters on the Death Star in Empire Strikes Back. Oh, and they all fit together into like one giant display. Ugh. I mean, obviously, I didn't take them out to the box to enjoy them, but if I were to, they could click together and make one giant display. But yeah, other than that, they're wonderfully disjointed. Like, I never have full sets. I'm just like, hey, this is my favorite part of this show. That's all I'll ever need. I don't know why they're popular. I don't know why they're collectible. But I enjoy them. And I'm sure millions of other people do. I feel like you guys are probably owners of Funko Pop yourselves.
I am looking at three right now. The only three that I have upstairs are the three Funko Pops of the different versions of Crossbones, the character that is yet to appear in MPQ.
Nice.
Now
that they're expanding two stars, maybe he can make his
way
in.
I'd be fine with that. I think he should be a three, but yeah. I'm fine with two.
I'd be good with either one of those.
I mean, he was a major contributor to three MCU movies.
At least. He was a big deal in Winter Soldier.
Yeah.
He was probably back in Civil War,
I presume.
He
was the reason for Civil War.
For Civil War, yeah, he set the bomb off. Was he somewhere else in there? Or did he come back after blowing
up? No, I think that was the end. I thought there was another one, but I could be wrong. My memory's poor.
Yeah, he could be. There could be one in there that I don't remember. But yeah, he was a good character.
But, oh well.
Yeah. So, this week we've got Hank's Gourmet Soda as the Pop and Funko, the fine maker of Toy Banks bobbleheads and Funko Pops with their weird, creepy soul designs.
Thank you,
Magnify. Thanks as always to Magnify.
Ian, you got Steam open.
I didn't.
Oh, come on, dude.
Sorry.
My understanding is we're still on the same characters, right?
Yeah, I still believe there's no Namor, so...
Yeah.
So that's a one each, so anytime you guys want to jump in, I'll hop
I'm
in there,
I'm doing
too.
It. It is a four-star. It's a spider or something. Spider-Man Infinity War, proportional punch.
All right, I'm up. It is Captain Marvel, photonic barrage.
I'll guard you with photons. That'll light you up. Let's see. It's a four-star. It is Annihilus Human Torch Fireball Special. So, still waiting for that Namor to hit, and then I'll spend a whole bunch of tokens.
Sure.
Right on.
Good times. Thanks to the OG,
this guy.
Ian, what's on the podcast network?
Oh, man. It's ever in flux. But if you want to find out, you can go to Soon to Be Named Network. It's available at soontobenamednetwork.tumblr.com. There you can find the direct links of all these, this show and all the other great podcasts that work together to broaden your entertainment horizons. Soon to Be Named Network, soontobenamednetwork.tumblr.com.
Oh, hey, I downloaded Rivals and played like a minute learning how to play Namor.
Oh, nice. I downloaded Rivals and haven't even tried it yet.
Okay.
But I will. Yeah. Someday,
I watched someone else play Rivals for about 2 minutes and went, that's not for me.
Hmm.
That's fair. That's a just straight shooter. I appreciate it.
It's got management material written all over him.
Absolutely. Ray, I can tell you we can get up to four people working under you.
Anything else for the good of the order?
Negative.
All right. We're going to be taking a couple weeks off due to the holidays.
But we'll be back. Back next week. Right?
Yeah. We will be back next week. Yeah. Sorry.
Absolutely.
I've skipped ahead a week.
I said future us. Craig is... Yes, we will be missing... The week of the 24th.
My brain's a whole week ahead of time, apparently.
Yeah. Christmas Day and New Year's Day, we will be unavailable.
True story.
Please enjoy that time with whatever it is you like to do around this time.
Celebrate the winter solstice.
Tell me what to celebrate. Maybe I want to condemn the winter solstice.
What did it ever do to you?
Nothing. I'm just prejudiced.
All right. Thanks, everybody, for joining us. Comments, suggestions, please shoot them at Willie's mailbag.
Bang, bang.
And Ray will bring those to us, and we can... comment and discuss them next week, which we will be here, not in my brain, but I'll be here anyway. Man. Or you can go to get those last minute Christmas presents that you have a whole extra week to get at go to our banner, click on the Amazon banner on our webpage and buy yourself something through that link, and we'll get a little bit of Christmas too. But that's it. Goodbye for now. But remember, kids, carbonadium, it's what Russians crave. Good night, everybody.
Goodbye, friends.
Good night.